Well, let's have a look at the morning papers now. And with us to review them, Stuart Hughes, who's a producer from the BBC's World Affairs Unit and former BBC Wales journalist as well. And the Welsh Liberal Democrats head of communications, Myrddin Edwards. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Morning, Vaughan.
Stuart, it's difficult to start anywhere other than the boat race.
Yeah, all over the papers this morning, and an amazing picture story which has grabbed the headlines and grabbed the front pages. And, you know, there really is battle of the headlines today. One of the newspapers was bound to go with the headline "Shock and Awe," OAR, following that phrase that became famous during the Iraq War. It's the Sunday Mirror that wins the prize for that headline. The Independent on Sunday have gone for "Chock and Awe," picking up the Easter theme. "Boat Face" is the headline in the People, but it's that picture that jumps out of the front pages this morning of a gentleman who calls himself an anti-elitism campaigner, Trenton Oldfield, swimming in between the two boats, the Oxford and Cambridge boat races at the boat race yesterday.
Yes, Trenton.
It makes me angry. You know, this guy, Trenton Oldfield, anti-elitist who studied at LSE, and then here he goes out, kind of ruining the boat race. I like the boat race. I'm not quite sure why it's shown on BBC. You know, I respect the tradition of Oxford and Cambridge and their boat race. And Carl Hudspeth, he was the president of Oxford University Boat Club, tweeted yesterday, and it says on page 3 on The Independent, "To Trenton Oldfield, my team went through 7 months of hell. This was the culmination of our careers and you took it from us." And I agree with him. You know, I am very annoyed that this guy disrupted this boat race because of, the point he was trying to make. I think it's shocking, really.
Yeah, yesterday I received a photograph from somebody who saw Mr. Oldfield as he was carried away or walked away by the police. And I put the photograph up on Twitter. This was before his name was released, and said to people, "Does anybody know who he is?" And people came back to me very quickly with a name and a link to his blog. And some people said, "Well, why are you giving this gentleman the publicity he craves by publishing a link to his blog, which The Independent on Sunday calls the blog, the 2,000-word tract, nonsensical in places." But I wasn't the only one to publish elements of that. His tract, of his manifesto, if you like, are all over the papers today. So if he did want to get publicity, he certainly achieved his aim.
He doesn't like shiny buildings, apparently. I guess the worry, though, is, Myrddin, you know, the Olympics are coming up. There's all sorts of things like the marathon and so on that take place, some of the cycling and so on that takes place, you know, and anyone with a 2,000-word manifesto is going to be looking at Trenton and saying, "I'll have a bit of that."
No, that is true. I think he has been arrested with a public order offence. And I think that because of the boat race, I think they closed the river, but somehow he managed to get into the water. And it's quite good that, is it Steve Pinsent, is it?
Matthew Pinsent,
the deputy umpire, spotted him in time because he could have had serious injuries from those blades kind of whacking him in his head. I think some people may have thought, "Why let him be whacked in the head?"
You see how close he got to the boats and see those oars going at full pelt. I mean, the fact that that it wasn't more serious than it turned out for Mr. Oldfield is quite remarkable.
But it does raise serious kind of concerns and questions about the security of the Olympics because, you know, as you said, we're going to have very public and open routes, and especially the marathon. And I don't know who else is going to highlight their cause. And it is going to get international coverage if they disrupt any of the Olympic Games. So I hope this is not going to set a precedent for people like Trenton, other people like Trenton Oldfields in the world.
Meanwhile, Myrddin, you've seen a story about your boss, your ultimate boss, Mr. Clegg.
My ultimate boss. Well, yeah, no, I'm quite happy about this story. It's this story about publishing tax returns of politicians. It all started with Ken Livingstone, the mayoral candidate, saying that tax avoidance shouldn't be allowed to vote, but he said lean more crudely. And then Boris Johnson accused him of not paying his tax, and then on Newsnight the night before, all four candidates declared that they were going to reveal their tax returns. And then this story now has spilled over to White Hall. And then George Osborne, the Chancellor, of course, came out and said that he was happy. Well, not happy, but he would be comfortable with telling people all about his tax returns. And then Vince Cable and then Nick Clegg have said similar things. And, you know, I'm quite happy that they're doing this. But I think there has to come a point where, you know, these are public ministers of the crown, but they are also individuals as well. And I'm quite opposed to this Americanization of US of British politics. I think they have to show their medical records of politicians in America, and that's where I disagree.
So a line needs to be drawn.
I remember one former Assembly member who didn't like being asked about her personal life. She used to say, and I think you know who this is, Vaughan, what they want to know next, the colour of my undergarments. Luckily for me, no one asked and I never found out.
Stuart, the war on drugs.
Yeah, an interesting story on the front page of The Observer. The Observer's got some good stories today. Of all the Sundays, I think it's got the most original stories. And the front page of The Observer says that the war on drugs has failed. Failed, according to Latin American leaders. The opening paragraph says a historic meeting of Latin America's leaders to be attended by Barack Obama will hear serving heads of state admit that the war on drugs has been a failure and that new alternatives to prohibition must be found. The Observer story based on an interview with the president of Guatemala, someone who doesn't often get quoted in the British newspapers, but it's an interesting talking point. The president of Guatemala saying that the prohibition paradigm that inspires mainstream global drug policy is based on a false premise that global drug markets can be eradicated. So I think that's something that probably other newspapers are going to, I would imagine, take up in the days ahead. I'm sure we're likely to see pro-liberalising of drugs campaigners and anti-drugs campaigners battling it out on the airwaves, discussing whether the war on drugs has failed and whether a more liberal approach is necessary.
Merthyn, you and I live in Wales, so we can use our hosepipes to our hearts content. Stuart's going to have a parched lawn.
I live in London and I'm inside the hosepipe, Bambi, because I was injured in Iraq and have a blue disabled badge. I found out this weekend that I'm exempt from the hosepipe ban, so I can hose away to my heart's content. to my neighbour's disgust, I'm sure.
Well, much like the wife of the which paper the People calls it, a Tory water minister, Richard Bainan. A few of the People's journalists went over to his family estate, and it's a very big estate as well, if you want to have a look on the photo in the People. And the journalist found the hosepipe on the estate running. And then instead of turning the hosepipe off, he just looked at the hosepipe for 2 hours waiting for a People photographer to come and take a photo. Surely he's not beyond the wits of the journalist to take a photo with his iPhone and then switch the hose pipe off. And then there's a story in the Sunday Mail as well about Colin Hood, who's chairman of Southern Water, who's they've just introduced a hose pipe ban in Southern England. He's been described as out of touch. Mr. Hood has a home in Perthshire and has a running stream going through his estate. Now, you know, you can't criticise him for living in Perthshire and having a river going through his estate. I think this is scraping the bottom of the barrel for the Sunday Mail. I'll doubt they'll have water shortages in Scotland like we will never have a water shortage in Wales.
Scraping the bottom of the water barrel.
Indeed.
Bosnia. Stuart.
Yeah, 20 years on from the start of the siege of Sarajevo this weekend, quite a number of my colleagues are returning to Sarajevo 20 years on to pay tribute to the people that they spent 44 horrific months with during the siege of Sarajevo. And lots of other journalists from the Sunday papers also in Sarajevo this weekend looking back on the legacy of the Bosnian War. I'm not normally a fan of anniversary journalism. The 20th anniversary is sort of one of those rather ad hoc pegs in which to look back on something that changed so many people's lives. But there is some really striking reportage in the Sunday papers today. Kim Wilshire in the Telegraph making clear that although it is 20 years on, the story needs to be told. The story of Bosnia and the story of the individuals need to be told again. One of the great journalists from that period of history in the early 1990s, Ed Vliami in The Observer, three pages from him making clear that the wounds 20 years on are still raw, that there's been no reckoning in Bosnia. And that term that is always used after conflicts, closure, he says there's been no closure in Bosnia. The wounds are still raw 20 years on.
We have about 30 seconds, Merthyn. You're dying to do Viagra, aren't you, or cuddle drug or whatever it's called.
Oh, there's a story. There's two stories quickly about the pandas who haven't been able to reproduce in Edinburgh Zoo, and that is a shame. But there is another story. There's a drug called oxytocin, a hormone traditionally used to induce labour in women. It's been found that it can make males more affectionate to friends and colleagues. But it also said that it can boost trust, cooperation and bonding between people. So why I thought they could throw a canister into the House of Commons to see if they can work together.
perish the thought. Let's not go there. That's it for this morning. Our producer is Margaret Keenan. A very good morning to you.